The Golden State Warriors are headed back to the Western Conference Finals. The Warriors, with a scintillating fourth quarter, hold off the upstart Grizzlies, 110-96 the final in Game 6.
Murph, Mac, and your morning routine now continue. Download the KNBR app and listen anywhere, anytime. We are KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Well, we signed off Friday morning not knowing what we were going to face Monday morning, and what we had faced is a Western Conference Finals against the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, we had multiple options. We could have a Game 7 in Memphis tonight. Could be a Western Conference Final against the Phoenix Suns. I think probably the third most likely option, which is the Game 6 Final, or Western Conference Final against the Mavericks. Although they won 53 this year now, and Luka's a one-man show.
Only one game separated the Mavs and the Warriors in the standings, one.
Or is he? Let's talk about him with one of the greats. Connor Letourneau's done a great job writing about basketball and the Warriors all year long, and now he has a Western Conference Final to write about. So, Connor, welcome back to the Murph and Mac Show. You've been writing some really good stuff this playoff stretch, man. Congrats on all that. How you doing this morning, man?
Hey, Connor.
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
No, it's good stuff, man. And first and foremost, Friday night, before we get to the Mavericks, you know, there was a lot of things to attack about that. And Game 6, Clay, is a fun one. But I was obsessed and can't stop talking about Kevon Looney's performance. For your perspective, you've covered the guy. And maybe trace us through for people who didn't follow it that closely. Just kind of his road, because wasn't that popular of a draft pick, right, Connor? And then he got hurt, and it was like Bob Myers was kind of like, getting knocked, and now here he is.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that people don't realize about Kevon is he's been through so much personally over the past few years. If you remember just a couple years ago, people were questioning whether or not he was still an NBA player. He did not look like himself. He was limited to 20 games. In those 20 games he played, he was rough, and we now know that he was going through a lot. You know, he was dealing with that neuropathy that took a lot of testing and stuff to figure out what exactly was going on with that, and then he had really serious stomach issues. He had bloating. He had really bad issues that kept him from recovering after games, and so he basically had to completely overhaul his diet, had to completely overhaul his approach day-to-day. And so, you know, his teammates call him Pro. Like, that's his nickname because he's the consummate pro in terms of how he goes about things. So I felt like that game the other night where he had 22 rebounds and was arguably the MVP in a closeout game really was like a much-needed shining moment for someone who has done so many things behind the scenes to become a reliable player for a title contender again. So it was a really special moment, not just for him, but for the team as well.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, the Warriors, you know, when Barkley's like the lead, Charles Barkley's the lead anti-Warrior guy. He's already taken the Mavs, by the way, in the finals.
Of course.
It was nice to see the Warriors kind of out-tough a very physical Memphis Grizzlies team. Connor, I think maybe only through history will we appreciate the final total 70 rebounds to 44.
Yeah, I mean, that number is pretty absurd. About a half hour after the game ended, Mike Brown was looking at the box score and literally could not understand how they got that many offensive boards. I think it was like 24 or something offensive boards, and he literally couldn't fathom it. He was like, I don't understand. This does not look right, especially when you consider that they did it against the best rebounding team in the NBA. I mean, they pretty much nullified Steven Adams, who had been killing them earlier in the season, is the best offensive rebounder in the NBA, and Kevon Looney deserves a ton of credit for that. I mean, that is the biggest reason why they were able to beat the Grizzlies in six games, was because they beat them in the rebounding out of those six games. And that was, you know, winning the possession battle, team in the league, and the best at forcing turnovers was absolutely humongous. I think they had 19 more shot attempts in Game 6 than the Grizzlies, which is hard to even understand.
Connor Letourneau, the voice of the San Francisco Chronicle Sporting Green, covering the Warriors, and we could go on and on about Friday night. It was, you know, they did not want to go back to Memphis, and they got it done. Looney, Clay, you name it, and now here come the Dallas Mavericks. And I got to say, from my perspective, Connor, I was a believer in the Suns. I mean, the 64 wins, Booker. I thought they had the three pieces they needed with Paul, Booker, and Ayton. enough bench firepower. I mean, I just said it's going to be the Warriors and the Suns. You tell me, Connor, how surprised or not are you that the Mavericks are the one who made it to the Final Four?
I'm surprised, I'm not going to lie, because like you, I was a believer in the Suns. But the Suns just never looked fully right this whole postseason. And, you know, the longer they struggled in the postseason, you start to wonder, okay, could they get upset? Is this possible that they don't even make the West Finals? Because it was just hard to reconcile what they looked like in the postseason, what they looked like in the regular season. They were so dominant, almost monotonously dominant in the regular season. But I was watching the game yesterday, and I'm thinking, okay, not only do the Suns look really bad, but the Mavericks look so darn good. I mean, defensively, they were making things absolutely impossible for the Suns. And if the Mavs can be 80% of that good against the Warriors are going to have trouble. I mean, this is a Mavs team that's peaking at the right time. You know, they have the right pieces. Getting rid of Kristaps was huge for them. Addition by subtraction. You know, Brunson's really coming to his own. You have Dinwiddie, who's a borderline elite kind of complimentary piece for them. And obviously, Luka has just been at an MVP level. So I think it's going to be a fun series. I still would pick the Warriors, but I think that the Mavericks are going to give them plenty of trouble.
You know, it's like the regular season games, I don't even know, can you even say anything? Draymond missed three of them, Klay missed one of them. I mean, there was the Sunday game where the Mavericks came from like 24 down. Is there anything to the way Jason Kidd defends Curry? I mean, there's something being made of that already, that they had a plan for Curry. They ran a lot of bodies at him. I mean, do you take stuff from the regular season matchups?
It's hard to, because there were so many injuries, and like you said, the Warriors weren't ever fully healthy. I mean, one of the crazy stats from this postseason is the Warriors were 1-3 against their first-round opponent and, you know, ended up handling the Nuggets, I would say, relatively easily. And then they were 1-3 against the Grizzlies, beat them in six, and now they're 1-3 in the regular season against the Mavericks. And so I don't put too much stock in that. But, yeah, you can definitely glean certain things, like how the Warriors defended Luka. I think you're going to see a lot of Andrew Wiggins on him. And, you know, Andrew, I thought, you know, did a decent job against Ja when Ja was healthy and Gary Payton II was out. I mean, Ja still got his numbers, but I thought that Ja had to take a lot of difficult shots to get those numbers. And so I feel, if I'm the Warriors, I feel pretty comfortable with putting Wiggins on him. And then, you know, the Mavericks, I think, have as good of a game plan against Steph as anyone in the league, and that's going to be really key, because Steph has not fully been Steph yet in this postseason. I mean, he's had a couple moments here and there. You know, he came on strong, I think, game four toward the end in the second round, and he had a couple other kind of, you know, big moments down the stretch, but he hasn't put together a complete game yet, and right, he's probably going to need to start doing that in this next series.
You know, I'm just curious, Connor, has there been, I mean, any connection to his play? Because I've noticed the same thing. I think Warrior fans are waiting for Steph to kind of break out and have some big Steph signature moments. And he did some nice shots at the end of game six, obviously, but any, you know, residual ankle discomfort from, you know, he missed so much time at the end of the year with that ankle problem. Is there anything left there?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
As far as discomfort goes?
I don't think that's an issue. I think he's healthy. I think that more than anything, he's just kind of getting comfortable with, you know, playing alongside these different lineup combinations, because they're still rolling out different lineups than they had in the regular season. And I think what I've seen is that he's kind of having a hard time figuring out when to get his offense and when to facilitate when he's out there with Klay and Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of times where he seems a little bit timid offensively just because he's trying to be that facilitator guy, when he would probably be better off just attacking the rim and getting up shots. And so I think that's probably something that Steve and them are talking to him about in the lead up to this Western Conference Finals is, hey, man, it's your time. Like, put us on your back. Go get your buckets. We're at our best when you're being aggressive. And I expect you to see a little bit more aggressive Steph in this next round.
And just in general, describing Dallas, I mean, it seems if you're going to describe Dallas, you just say the word Luka. Like, I just Googled Dallas Mavericks stats. Points, Luka Doncic. Rebounds, Luka Doncic. Assists, Luka Doncic. Steals, Luka Doncic. So, I mean, is there any, like, who, give me the, I mean, I know Dinwiddie scored 30 last night. Jalen Brunson's out there. He scored 22 a game in the postseason. But to you, in terms of a number two threat, like, who's going to, like, you know, I mean, is it just Luka or bust, or can anybody hurt him other than Luka?
Well, you just touched on two of the big guys, and Dinwiddie and Brunson. Both of those guys have had some really nice moments in the postseason. Brunson has solidified himself this season as a legitimate number two option on a very good team. I think he's a guy who has all-star potential, and his emergence has been a big reason why the Mavericks have been as good as they've been this season. But I also think that they're a team that has really good role players. You know, I look at Finley Smith as a guy who, you know, can knock down the open three, who plays the right way, who doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They have a bunch of guys like that who maybe aren't super sexy stats-wise, but they know how to play, and they're in the right spots, and they complement Luka really well. And Luka has been playing at an MVP level, and it's going to be a really interesting series in that these two teams play almost opposite brands of basketball. The Warriors like to share the ball. The Warriors spread the floor. They have a lot of off-ball movement. And the Mavericks basically just give the ball to Luka and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And they're also the slowest-paced team in the NBA, whereas the Warriors are one of the fastest-paced teams in the NBA. So it's going to be important for the Warriors to still be able to play their brand of basketball. If you looked at those regular season matchups, the Mavericks were really good at limiting the Warriors' off-ball movement and their passing. The Warriors' passing numbers were way down in the regular season against the Mavericks, and that needs to get back up to where they normally like it if they're going to win this series.
I've read already, so if you need a comp on Luka, it's James Harden with the Rockets. Is that, I mean, but does he do more? I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, in terms of how they play, I can see that. And, you know, the way this Mavericks team is somewhat similar to the way those really good Rockets teams were. There's a lot of iso ball, a lot of high screen pick and rolls for Luka, as there were for Harden. So I can understand that. I like Luka way more as a player. He's more of a team-oriented guy, even though he gets his numbers. I like the way he plays better. I think the average NBA fan probably does too. But I can definitely see the comparison just stylistically, for sure.
And one last local angle. All politics is local. I know the guy barely plays, but Marquese Chriss is a Maverick. You going to hunt him down for a local angle there?
I might reach out. Yeah. I mean, I would like his thoughts on just, you know, where the Warriors are now compared to when he was with the team. Because one of the things that was interesting about those two down years, especially that year where they were the worst team in the NBA when Steph was out, is that every guy who is no longer on the team since those years misses those Warriors. Like, they really enjoyed their time on the Warriors, which says something about the organization and the culture Steve's built, because it's very rare that a player is on the worst team in the NBA and is having a good time. But I know Marquise really enjoyed his time with the Warriors. I would love to just catch up with him and get at why that is, because it speaks to something to do with the organization.
Yeah, man. And the last local angle, of course, is the kid out of St. Joseph's High School in Alameda, coaching the team.
Yeah.
How about old Jason Kidd coming back? It's kind of fun, man. The Bay's own, right? Born in the city, raised in Alameda and Oakland. Here he comes.
Yeah, I was actually at the Cal Stanford basketball game a few months ago, and it was the night before Mavericks Warriors games, and Jason Kidd went and talked to the Cal basketball team. And,
nice.
You know, he definitely, you know, keeps his hand in the Bay Area circles and is very proud of his Bay Area roots. And I will say, I was very down on Jason Kidd as a coach for a long time. I thought he was overrated. I did not think he did a good job in Brooklyn or Milwaukee. I did not think it was a surprise that the Bucks got significantly better when he left. But I got to give him credit. You know, it seems like he's learned from his mistakes. He's learned from the past, and he's done a great job with his Mavericks team. So you gotta give your hat off.
I'm with you. I think a lot of people wrote him off as a coach, and here he is now in the Western Conference Finals. So, all right, lots of fun stuff to write about. We'll read you, Connor, all week in the Chronicle. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right, appreciate you guys.
Yeah,
take
there
care,
is,
Connor.
Yeah, there's a lot to write about. The Jason Kidd angle, I was just reading kids, because I did the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame when he was inducted.
Okay.
And we did a one-on-one sit-down
with
him.
Yeah. I don't think we wrapped
about that. I'm
actually
going to go look back on the interview, because they have it online. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
But you know one of the angles is that you know who his idol was and who kind of raised him was Gary Payton. Now we got that connection.
Interesting.
GP2, GP the original, yeah. Jason Kidd, Oakland.
Well, it's been fun to see the original out of so many games, too. Just chilling, watching the games in the crowd. It's good to have him in the building.
I know, really fun. All right, we're ready. Here come the Mavs, Paulie.
Okay,
all
let's
right.
do it.
Meanwhile, you got the Rockies to beat tonight. All right.
Yeah, come on
Alex
now.
Alex Wood. Who I said hi to, and he was very polite.
Yeah, Alex Wood, and also I'm with Marcus on this one. Let's let this Joey Bart, I'll go air quotes, hot streak continue. I'm looking for, Marcus, I'm calling two bombs over the course of these three in Colorado. Make it happen.
And I'm getting more testimonials from my buddies in Southern Marin. The great Kevin Mursky checked in saying, Kai and his buddies are cool surfers, cool dudes, and amazing musicians. Nothing but respect.
No, I can only imagine it when I talk to Kai, because I'm going to try to get this kid on the podcast so I can ask him what it was like to play with Pearl Jam. And I can only imagine when I'd be like, hey, Kai, welcome to KNBR. How's it going today?
Hey, dude, what's going on?
Like, I'm hoping to hear the surfer drawl. You know what I mean?
All right. On we go. Hand it over to Papa and Lund next on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
The Giants are glad to get out of the gateway.
Look, it wasn't Carlos Rodon's night. It wasn't the Giants' night, basically, in any way.
Now it's on to the Rocky Mountains. First pitch, 5:40.
Giants just swept the Rockies in San Francisco, but we've seen it forever and ever for the history of the Rockies. You're playing a whole different team when you go there.
On KNBR, 104.5 and 680.
And KNBR.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.